805-647-NHPR.org.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Early March is generally not the time of year when you think about new books. Publishers are readying themselves to promote books for summer vacation, while big-name authors usually wait till fall to highlight their latest offerings. And then everyone in the literary world tries to cash in on the holiday buying season. And so this time, around late winter, early spring, provides a chance for emerging authors to grab some of the spotlight. This year, that's certainly the case. New books by names like Andrew Piper, Herman Koch, and Abby Maxwell are earning some hype, as are two books of short stories by Karen Russell and George Saunders. And as always, there's the mysteries, sci-fis, and graphic novels to get you through the winter blahs and into spring break. Today in The Exchange, our book buffs join us for a special late winter reads show in honor of the first day of our March fun drive. And today we focus on the fiction. Exchange listeners, we want to hear from you as well. What new fiction authors are you reading? Or do you need a suggestion of a good book to while away the rest of the winter? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us a short email if you'd like, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. Our booksellers are Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. And Dan, thanks for coming in.
It's great to be here, Laura.
Also with us, Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. And Michael, thank you for making the time.
It's great to be here, Laura. Thanks.
Well, and Dan, you know, usually this time of year, all the book reviews and publishers come out with their best books for holiday giving in December, and then there's those list best books for summer vacation, as I mentioned. So I touched on it a little bit, but I'd love to hear from you, Dan. What do you see from your customers around this time of year, sort of late winter, getting into spring?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the publishers really rain the big names down on us all during the fall leading up to the holiday season, because that's the peak time for patrons to be in our bookstores. And then after the holidays are over, it's really the diehard patrons that are in our bookstores in January and February. And so the publishers kind of take advantage of those 2 months to publish. They publish emerging and new authors in a way that's more aggressive than happens at other times of the year when the big names are taking all the resources in-house of the publicity people and the marketing people. So we've got, for instance, Abby Maxwell, first-time author and a New Hampshire native and New Hampshire resident, who's published this book, Lake People, a novel. It's published by Knopf, one of the premier publishing houses. And they're really putting some oomph behind it regionally. And we're putting a lot of oomph behind it in our shops because it's a gorgeous book, very well written. She was in our shop last night doing a reading. She gave the most gorgeous reading of her beautiful writing and just kind of turned our audience inside out with a little snippet of something that she was reading from her book. And she's just a marvelous author. And,
well, I definitely want to ask you about this book because it's getting a lot of attention and it's kind of cool. She's a librarian from Guilford, that's right, Dan?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a Cinderella story. But just a little bit more, Michael, to pick up on this theme that Dan mentions, that, you know, the people who are in bookstores now are kind of the diehard folks. They're going to take the time. They're going to talk to your staff. How is there sort of a different feeling in the book buying and book publishing world this time of year?
Well, it's people are buying gifts for themselves this time of year.
Bringing those gift certificates.
Well, yeah, they're bringing in gift certificates. But not only that, they're not thinking about what to get Uncle Fred. They're saying, well, what do I want to read now?
Right.
Because readers want to read all year long. And, you know, sometimes publishers will save, you know, a couple of really nice big books for right after Christmas. We aren't talking about nonfiction today, but Jared Diamond's book came out on, I think, December 31st, right after Christmas. And we were saying to ourselves, well, boy, we could have sold a ton of that at Christmas. And the answer is we'll sell a ton of it next Christmas. But, you know, people need stuff to read after the holidays. And it's a great time of year to explore new authors and just to talk about great books and not worry about gift giving.
Well, so let's talk about Abby Maxwell and this book, The Lake People. And Dan, again, she was at your store last night.
That's right.
Give us the briefest synopsis of what this book is all about.
Well, it's really, I'm just going to read a little bit from Stephanie, who works at our bookstore, what she said about it. She said Abby Maxwell's writing is just lovely, filled with longing and the understanding that memory can both weigh us down and set us free. She calls it an impressive debut novel, and it's set in a place called Bear Island, which is an island in the middle of Kettleboro Lake. Think Lake Winnipesaukee.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah, and, you know, it's about a woman who's lost her whole family to the lake, but she never gives in to that. So it's about the lake, and it's about family, and it's about tradition. And, you know, there's an adoption, and so there's kind of a twisted, you know, relationship between what's my family and what was my family. And it's just the piece she read last night, there's a couple in the piece, and there's this kind of end to a certain kind of relationship that they've had that's been fairly close and loving, and now it's kind of bending towards something that's more distant. And she translates that emotional landscape within these two people into an event that happens outside. And it's one of the best examples of that sort of, how do you take an emotional landscape and reflect it out into the outside world? And she just did such a gorgeous job. And she read this piece so well. I was out of breath when she was done.
Wow.
It was like, oh my God, this woman can not only write, she can read her writing.
That's not always a given.
Exactly.
Well, and Dan was talking earlier, Michael, that it'd be easy to look at this Abby Maxwell, you know, breakout book as a Cinderella story. Here she is, this librarian in New Hampshire, and she has this first time book. But she worked on this for a long time. I mean, this isn't exactly, you know,
we were talking
boom
about
overnight.
This. Yeah, well, you know, writers work for a long time on their books, or at least they should. And this was, I think, 10 years in the making. Deb Baker, who has worked at Gibson's and is a friend, said, if you really want to know how to think about this book, think about Alice Hoffman meets Peyton Place. You have an intergenerational story, you know, of women, and you also have a town full of secrets in New Hampshire. You know, so you put those two together, and all of a sudden you have a debut novel that's picked up by Alfred Knopf, which is like probably one of the most prestigious publishers in the world. So it's a great Cinderella story.
Wow. And she's coming to your store when?
She's coming to our store on March 21st at 7 o'clock.
All right.
And I just want to interject that we had a smallish to medium-sized crowd last night, which it's a little disappointing, but we'll live. We'll sell a lot of these books. I urge everyone in this area around Gibson's to show up for this event on March 21st. It's a chance to get in on the ground floor with a new, talented, vibrant author.
All right. Our number here in the Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Join us today in the Exchange. We're doing a special hour with our book buffs for our special March Fun Drive kickoff day. Our independent booksellers are Dan Chartrand of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter and Michael Herman of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. We're looking at fiction this hour and some of the best new fiction out there for book fans. Join us with your questions or comments, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. By the way, we will post all of Michael and Dan's top choices, as well as any of the books that come up in our conversation today, on our website, nhpr.org. So if you're driving down the highway and you don't want to take the time to write anything down, please don't. It'll be on our website, nhpr.org, and you can check it out later. Well, both of you have short lists, again, because this is a different period of time, but there's another book that you guys share in common, and Michael Herman, that's The Dinner.
Oh, yeah, The Dinner. Well, a funny story about this book. This is an international bestseller, and it sold more than 1 million copies worldwide.
Wow.
And there was a very spirited auction for this book, and it was won by a wonderful new press called Hogarth, which, you know, some of your listeners might remember as the name of Virginia Woolf's publishing house. And they've revived the name, and they've revived it to publish great literary fiction. And this one fits the bill. It's sort of like if you've seen the movie or read Yasmina Reza's God of Carnage. You know, it's a little bit of a familiar story. Two couples get together for dinner, and they're, you know, at first very polite. They're discussing, the latest Woody Allen film or just current affairs. And then all of a sudden, but things take a dark turn. The conversation takes a dark turn, and all of a sudden secrets are revealed. And by the end of the dinner,
you've got indigestion.
You know, well, you could, yes. you might. You certainly might.
A little more than that, I would say.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's a great thriller. The book is a window into a world of privilege and violence and madness. And, it's a great, gripping read. And the author is just masterful at holding back certain secrets and letting them just slowly reveal themselves. It's a great, great suspenseful read.
Here's a little bit from NPR on this, just adding on to what you said, Michael. The dinner is just a cover. What's actually going on is much more nasty. One of the men is a famous politician, the other a retired teacher. They don't get along, but their sons do. These are two brothers, the men are. And over the course of the meal, you realize the boys have done something terrible.
Don't give away too much.
I will not. The parents are at this dinner to decide what to do next. So I'm already feeling squeamish inside.
No spoilers.
Go ahead, Dan.
No,
Jean-Paul, who works for Water Street Bookstore, put it this way. He said, it's a fascinating story, sometimes very funny, or initially very funny, sometimes sad. It slowly evolves from lighthearted, if not trivial, and then it starts to move towards a deep, dark thriller with a mind-blowing ending. That's how Jean-Paul put it. So,
wow.
Get it while it you can.
Well, and again, both Dan and Michael's lists are on our website, nhpr.org. Those are the two books that you guys had in common. After a very short break, we're going to talk about some of the books that are on Michael's list and some of the books that are on Dan's list. Again, all those lists are at nhpr.org, so you can go there and check them out. And after a break, join us with your thoughts, questions, comments about some of the best new fiction these days. 1-800-892-6477 is the exchange number. You can email us at exchange@nhpr.org or post a comment on our Facebook page, and we'll be right back.
I would tell that somebody who was thinking of becoming a member to really think about how often they listen to NHPR and how often it trickles into their everyday life. It really is everywhere. When I wake up, Morning Edition, when I turn my car on, Fresh Air, I even tune in on the weekends to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me in Car Talk. And if they value that, then they need to contribute to make sure that it's sustainable and that it doesn't go away. You know, how many times they hear somebody say, oh, I heard this great story on NHPR. My name is Abby Bushwah, and I am from Concord, New Hampshire.
I'm Brady Carlson, along with Virginia Prescott, and this is NHPR's March Membership Drive. We're here for just 3 hours today, raising money in support of programs like The Exchange, the programs you value on NHPR. Please make your contribution right now at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477.
We have 138 more pledges to go in the next, half an hour, 40 minutes, in order to meet our goal of 350 contributions for the morning. Now, meeting that goal is going to earn NHPR an additional $10,000 in challenge money, thanks to a generous Upper Valley donor. So please support NHPR listening by giving, let's say, $250 a year, $500 a year, if you can afford it, or join the leadership circle at $1,000 a year. You can go to nhpr.org or call us at 1-888-805-6477.
Just 132 pledges left to go this hour to make that goal. It's listener support that makes NHPR what it is. Listener support accounts for 40% of NHPR's budget, while federal funding accounts for under 7%. That gap is only going to get bigger, and that is fine. We like being accountable to you. So let's hear from you now at 1-888-805-6477 or at nhpr.org.
Please take 2 minutes to give to NHPR, especially now when we have this $10,000 challenge grant hanging in the balance in the next hour. We need to get that money by 10 o'clock. All gifts are welcome. Many people are contributing. Some are at $100 a month, but we also need gifts of $1,200, $1,500, $2,500, and more. It only takes 2 minutes, no matter the amount that you choose to give, to make sure that NPR will always have a home here on NHPR. NHPR.org is the way to pledge online or call us at 1-888-805-6477.
We heard from Linda in Nashua, who says, I'm a sustaining member already, but felt I needed to give a little bit more for the services I receive. NHPR is constantly on while I'm on my computer or in my car. Thanks to all of you. Well, thank you, Linda. We also heard from Jeffrey in Nashua, who said, I enjoy Laura Kanoi and Science Friday, among other programs. Well, you can join Linda and Jeffrey as a member of New Hampshire Public Radio. It just takes a couple of minutes at nhpr.org or by calling 1-888-805-6477.
And when you become a member of NHPR, that's $120 a year or more contribution, you do get the NHPR member card with discounts, good at hundreds of places around the state and the region and even the country. And so let's see, Jeffrey and Linda, they're in Nashua. If they have the NHPR app, they could see that their Mina's Kitchen Vegetarian Restaurant, La Hacienda, Killarney's Irish Pub, all of those places. If you use the NHPR app, you can see all of the places where you can get discounts based on your location at that given time. It's a great way to support NHPR. 1-888-805-6477 or NHPR.org is the way to get your member card today.
We're only fundraising for 3 hours today, and this is the third hour. This is one of the ways we're trying to keep fundraising to a minimum here on New Hampshire Public Radio. But fewer hours of fundraising does not mean we need fewer amounts of money. We're just trying to raise the same amount of money faster. You can help make that happen right now. Call to support The Exchange. Call to support Morning Edition. Call to support The Diane Rehm Show at 1-888-805-6477 or drop by nhpr.org to make an online gift.
128 more pledges to go between now and 10 o'clock to meet this goal of 350 contributions for the morning. Meeting that goal is going to earn NHPR an additional $10,000 in challenge money thanks to a generous Upper Valley donor. So it's a great time to support NHPR by giving $60, $120, or $1,500, $1,000. Whatever you can afford is going to be worth an additional $10,000 to NHPR today, just until 10 o'clock. 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
Make that $120 contribution right now and you'll get the NHPR member card to get discounts all across the state. We heard from Abby, who lives in Concord, at the beginning of the break. She could use an NHPR member card at, say, Constantly Pizza or House of India or Cafe Indigo. The number of discounts in this member card book is pretty astounding, and those can be yours as well. You can check them out at nhpr.org, and while you're there, get a member card by making your $120 contribution to New Hampshire Public Radio.
To provide quality radio, we need to pay the bills, and we count on listeners just like you to help by making a contribution today. 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org. It is quick. It's easy to do. You'll be on and off the phone in no time or on and off our website in no time at all. And your contribution in any amount is going to provide essential support for the station, help us keep our mission strong and our programming on the air. 128 calls now that we need or contributions online at nhpr.org to help us make an additional $10,000 in challenge money. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
Join Joel in Plymouth. Join Daniel. Join Thomas in Keene. Join Elizabeth in Randolph. Lois in Brattleboro, Vermont. Each of them has been part of this effort this morning to get this close to meeting our challenge goal and putting that $10,000 to work for all of us who appreciate what we hear on The Exchange and New Hampshire Public Radio. Now it's your turn to join them. Now it's your turn to ride in here on that final hill, to close the deal, to mind the gap. I'm running out of cliches, but nonetheless, make your gift now at nhpr.org and make it happen.
And whatever you can afford is worth an additional $10,000 to NHPR right now, only for the next, 36 minutes. 1-888-805-6477. You can go through the rest of your day thinking, okay, I made $10,000 for NHPR today. That supports your listening and then some. 128 more calls at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members Zemfrom Grupponi Auto Group, featuring multiple lines of fuel-efficient, environmentally friendly cars at Grupponi Auto Junction in Bow and online 24 hours a day at grupponi.com. And from Unity Homes from Bensonwood, designed to improve the world by enhancing quality of life and reducing energy consumption. Information at unityhomes.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, our two book buffs are here, two New Hampshire independent booksellers, filling us in on the latest literary offerings for this end of winter season. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. We're focusing on fiction this hour, and we want to hear from you. What new fiction has caught your eye during this late winter season? Or do you need some advice about a book maybe to take, if you're lucky, on spring break? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. Our two booksellers are Michael Herman of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord and Dan Chartrand owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. One more time, the number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. And guys, let's take a call. Steve is waiting in Bedford. Hi, Steve. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Laura. Hi, Mike. Hi, Dan. I'd like to bring up a new author that a lot of people probably haven't heard of. His name is Nick Harkaway. Oh, yeah. H-A-R-K-A-W-A-Y.
We know who he
is. When you look him up, that he's the son of Jean Le Carré, and I'm sure they're both pen names.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I found this book at the Bedford Library. It's called Angel Maker, and it turns out it's his second book, and I can't wait to get through it and go get his first book, which is called The Gone Away World. I love finding new authors because it gives you a new mind and a new world that you can explore. And this guy is weird. You'll love him. You'll absolutely love him.
Oh, that's great, Steve. Well, and what he said kind of picks up on what you said before the break, Dan Chartrand, that this sort of February, March time is a time when dedicated readers like our caller, Steve, are willing to, you know, look at somebody new.
Nick Harkaway, I read Gone Away World, and I have Angel Maker, but I haven't made my way through it yet. It's very dense. It's going to take me a lot of time, but I am going to get to it. But Gone Away World is a great read. It's science fiction-y, but it's also very serious literary work and very fun to read, kind of like a Thomas Pynchon kind of, romp through the English language.
Well, Steve, thanks for the call. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You know, sometimes, guys, when we've talked in the past, we've talked about certain trends in the world of fiction. Remember Swedish Mysteries a couple of years back?
Oh, yeah.
And then there was one time when memoirs were big. Dan, what type of fiction is getting good reviews at this point when lots of us, myself included, have sort of the late winter doldrums?
Well, I'm going to pick up on your question and Steve's weird comment. And we're going to go to a couple of short story collections, one on Michael's list and one on mine, because both of these books were blown up big by coverage in the New York Times. One in the New York Times Book Review, one in the New York Times magazine.
Yep.
And I'm going to start with Karen Russell's Vampires in the Lemon Grove. Karen Russell is not a new, but she is kind of a mid-list author who's won some prizes. She started with a collection of short stories, and then she published a novel. And now she's looped back to publish another collection of short stories, which is an interesting track. That doesn't usually play out that way. And I'm going to just read a little short excerpt from Joy Williams' review in the New York Times Book Review. Here's what she says. She starts her review by saying, "Start with a mustard seed of irrelevant fact. Rutherford Hayes's wife, Lucy, was the first American president's wife to be referred to as the First Lady. Scribble this on a scrap of paper and present it to Karen Russell. Tell her she has to write a story about this old dead guy and reincarnate him as a horse. Give her a couple of pencils, put her in a lock safe, a la Houdini, tie one arm behind her back, give her the sniffles, let her go after a modest interval and see what she comes up with." And then she says she comes up with the hilarious, impossibly realized, even moving story, The Barn at the End of Our Term. And then she ends the review by saying, "Karen Russell has spoiled us. Her work has a velocity and trajectory that is little less than dazzling and a tough, enveloping, exhilarating voice that cannot be equaled." It's a short story collection. They don't get reviews like that in the New York Times, the front page of the New York Times Book Review. You got to read this collection.
So short stories are getting some perhaps overdue attention. Dan, what do you think, Michael?
Well, every once in a while they get the respect they deserve. I mean, it is a hard sell. You know, short stories in hardcover, you know, I mean, you order one or two and you know, hope for the best if you're a bookstore owner. But right now, you know, there's some great short story collections being published. 10th of December by George Saunders was named by the New York Times, I think, on January 6th as the most important book of the year. Which is, you know, kind of hubris, right? Because there's a lot of the year left. but it's a great collection. And Saunders is smart. He's smart and he's entertaining and he's funny. I mean, you know, these short stories are just a joy to read, and they're technical marvels too. But you know, the machinery isn't visible. You know, you don't notice the technique while you're reading it. You're just blown away by the stories. And they're all very different. It opens with a story called Victory Lap, which is just, you get in like just 4 or 5 pages, you get the story from 3 different points of view of 2 teenagers who are in terrible danger and who managed to get out of it. And it's like 5 pages. It's the damnedest thing. You know, and all of the stories are just really high quality. And it's about time short story writers got the respect they deserve.
Well, why don't they get respect? What's wrong with short stories?
Well, I don't know. They're more. It's more like if a novel is the movies, short stories is the theater. You know, it's a smaller audience. It's a more dedicated audience. I think that's what it is.
I think a lot of readers want that longer arc of the novel, but I think it's part of our job as independent booksellers to coax those folks into these smaller jewel-like stories. Such a great tradition. I mean, F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote short stories. Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a tradition since the early part of the 20th century to have great
Stephen
short story
King writes wonderful short stories. You know, I mean, it's just a different form. You know, it's a different form, and it's got different rules, and it's got different standards, and it's really worthy of attention all the time, but only sometimes does it get it.
Again, the books that we're mentioning this hour and the books that are on Michael and Dan's favorites for this time of year, you can find at our website, nhpr.org. We're posting their choices there, as well as any of the books that come up in our conversation today. So nhpr.org if you want more information. You can call now if you'd like, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR with your questions and comments about the best fiction of this time of late winter blahs and looking ahead to spring break. The number 1-800-892-6477. So, gentlemen, unlike when we talk in December and when we talk in June, Dan, you guys had pretty short lists this time around, 7 or 8 favorites or so. We've talked about a couple of them, including the ones that you guys share in common, The Lake House and The Dinner. What else is tops on your list, Dan?
Well, I do have a couple of New England authors who have written great works of fiction. And again, they've been around for a while and they've sold steadily. But this is a chance for them in these months to kind of shine in a way that they might not at other times of the year. Anne Hood has written a number of novels, and she's written a new novel called The Obituary Writer. She's from Rhode Island. And this is a great novel about a woman whose life has come undone after the earthquake in San Francisco. And she starts writing obituaries for other people that have survived the earthquake who have lost loved ones. And it's just a great novel about grief in all its forms, whether it's over a lost child, a lost lover, a lost chance at happiness. And the main character, Vivian, writes these obituaries that are that perfectly encompass the life she's tasked to memorialize. But the truth is we all write these obituaries and we write the words on our hearts and we carry them with us. And, you know, that Stephanie has read this book and she's handing it out to our customers. And Anne Hood has a great track record.
That's kind of a time travel novel, too, though, right? Because there's another character who is coming of age as a young adult in the 1960s, right around the time of John F. Kennedy.
Yeah.
So two women in two completely different times and their lives are interwoven. What else have you got, Michael, for us on the tops of your list?
Oh, well, you know, it's a good time of year for thrillers, you know, to break out of the winter doldrums. And Andrew Piper, his new book, The Demonologist, just came out yesterday, in fact. And, you know, if, you know, the publisher is pitching it, comparing it to The Historian, which was literary fiction that came out a few years ago on the theme of Dracula. But I would say it's got one foot in that camp and one foot in the camp of The Da Vinci Code, just pure thriller. And interestingly enough, Dan Brown has a book coming out later this year, which is about, the theme of Dante. This book, The Demonologist by Andrew Piper, takes Milton as its theme. And Milton's pandemonium comes to life. There's an English professor named David Allman. He accepts a mysterious offer to come to Venice for some consulting work. Now, he's a Milton scholar. He knows demons only through literature. But apparently, there's something that requires his attention in Venice.
Wow.
And he is the demonologist, and his marriage is in trouble. His best friend has cancer. His daughter is in danger. And he's being called off on this mysterious mission to witness a phenomenon.
Well, here's what one of the reviewers said. A stolen child, an ancient evil, a father's descent, and the literary masterpiece, I'm assuming that's Milton's Paradise Lost,
yes.
That holds the key to his daughter's salvation. What happens in Venice will change everything. Wow, that's got the makings of a thriller.
It's very cool.
Right there. Well, gentlemen, we're going to take a very short break and check in now with our March fund drive, and then we'll be right back.
Virginia Prescott here with NHPR's March Membership Drive. Listeners are NHPR's most important source of income. So when you give now at NHPR.org, you keep programs like The Exchange on the air. It's the first day of the Membership Drive, and we're only fundraising for 3 hours today. Please give now and make this short day of fundraising a success. You can do it at NHPR.org or calling 1-888-805-6477. My colleague Brady Carlson has more details.
Just 99 pledges left to go in the next, say, 25 minutes to meet the goal of 350 contributions for the morning. When we make that goal, NHPR gets an additional $10,000 in challenge money thanks to a generous donor in the Upper Valley. So support your NHPR listening and make that important goal by giving $60, $120, maybe a dollar a day. Visit NHPR.org right now or call 1-888-805-6477.
Just 96 now to go until 10 o'clock. You can donate to NHPR and keep this programming service strong, like Gene in Warren, New Hampshire, who said, "I just believe in the program." And David in Portsmouth, who said, "It keeps me a part of the entire state." Well, that's what you get when you're listening to The Exchange in the special edition of the book show. Normally, we just do a summer book show and then one at holiday time, but we're doing a special edition today to remind you of the importance of the life of the mind in the state of New Hampshire. Support that programming today at NHPR.org or at 1-888-805-6477. We're getting an update right now. We're at 91 listeners now at 1-888-805-6477 or online at NHPR.org.
So you could be the one to push that under 90 with your $120 contribution right now. And when you make that gift, you will receive the NHPR member card, which gets you 91 plus benefits, discounts, many of them 2-for-1 at restaurants, lodging, retail, online shopping, and so much more. It would take forever to go through all of the discounts in here, so I'll simply say they are at nhpr.org. You can browse the list for yourself. The member card, by the way, is also linked to our mobile app now, which is pretty cool. But while you're there at nhpr.org, make a $120 contribution. You'll get a member card. You'll help make this challenge. You'll keep The Exchange stronger than ever before.
We're knocking them down, Brady. 87 more calls to go in the next 20 minutes at 1-888-805-6477. 87 pledges at nhpr.org. When we get that, by 10 o'clock, we're going to receive an additional $10,000 from an anonymous donor in the Upper Valley, and we will stop fundraising for the entire day. So support The Exchange, a forum for issues and ideas where Granite Staters can engage in a discussion of the day's issues, or where you can hear from and ask questions about policymakers and leaders from around New Hampshire. Just last week, Maggie Hassan was on. You could call in and speak directly to the new governor of New Hampshire. That's all available because of your support, your donations at nhpr.org or at 1-888-805-6477.
And that's a really important point, because most of the money that we spend to bring you The Exchange comes from NHPR listeners. And I said listeners because we don't expect any one or 100 or 1,000 listeners to carry the load. It's every single one of us who appreciates that The Exchange is there every weekday morning. Become a first-time member right now at the $5 a month level. Be the person who that helps make the next year of Exchange conversations possible. Now, just 79 more pledges to put $10,000 to work for Laura Kanoy and her team on The Exchange, and they're working for you, so it really benefits everybody. NHPR.org is where you can make the gift, or call 1-888-805-6477.
You said you'd like less fundraising on air. So today, we're trying to meet our fundraising goal for the day by 10 a.m. That's just 20 minutes from now. Please support the broadcast of The Exchange and help us raise a day's worth of contributions in just 3 hours. 76 more to go is going to get us an additional $10,000 from an anonymous donor in the Upper Valley and end fundraising for the day. 1-888-805-6477. You can also support The Exchange and all the programming on NHPR.org. By calling 1-888-805-6477 or making a pledge online at nhpr.org.
It's always really exciting when the momentum starts to build, when you're getting close to a goal and you realize this really can happen, and it really can. 10,000 additional challenge dollars can go to work for programs including The Exchange, The Diane Rehm Show, Virginia Show, word of mouth, and everything that you hear on New Hampshire Public Radio. That's thanks to a generous Upper Valley donor, but it's only going to happen when you make your gift right now. We're working on trying to wrap up this goal by 10 o'clock. There's under 76 pledges left to go to get there. In fact, now just 68 left to go. So you can put us that much closer to the goal at nhpr.org or 1-888-805-6477.
Listeners make up the community of informed people who tune into New Hampshire Public Radio. They also make up a great part of our fundraising here at NHPR. How much should you give? You decide. Your membership in any amount is going to be turned into great programming today. And also give us an additional $10,000 from an anonymous donor in the Upper Valley. So whatever amount you choose, maybe you can afford $240 a year, maybe a dollar a day, $365, maybe more, maybe less. That's your decision. Whatever you give right now between now and 10 o'clock is going to make an additional $10,000. Put that money to work for New Hampshire Public Radio. 1-888-805-6477 or join online at nhpr.org. The number is going down, Brady. We have 65 to go in the next 18 minutes.
Can you help make it happen? You absolutely can. You'll not only, when you make that gift, you'll be paying for the hundreds of hours of listening you'll be doing in the coming year, but you'll be ensuring that the programs like The Exchange, Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and more are available for other people to discover as well. NHPR is about the grassroots. There's some money comes from the federal government, but it's the financial support of listeners that makes it happen. And you can make it happen right now. $10,000 challenge dollars available. NHPR.org is where you can pull them and make them work. Thank you.
This is NHPR, where support comes from UR members and from the Spine Center at Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center, using research results to build customized treatment plans. Information at dhspine.org. And from Derry Medical Center and independent practice offices in Derry, Londonderry, and Wyndham, offering comprehensive primary care to families for almost 50 years. DerryMedicalCenter.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, spring reads with our book buffs. We're looking at some of the top reads in fiction to while away the last weeks of winter and perhaps take with you on spring break. Join our conversation, 1-800-892-6477. We're posting our guests' choices as well as the books discussed today on our website, nhpr.org. Michael Herman is here with Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, Dan Chartrand, Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. And Dan and Michael, let's go back to our listeners. Liz is calling from Brightwood. Hi, Liz. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there. Dan is going to smile when he hears this because I'm recommending a book called The Reversed Mute by Sheila Blanchett. And Sheila had put the book in the Exeter Bookstore. She had sold it there, and we had a little reading. And Dan can probably comment on how difficult it is for people to move forward in self-publishing. She has self-published her book, but it's a great read, and I highly recommend it.
Oh, thanks a lot for calling, Liz. Dan?
Liz, thanks for the call. Yeah, Sheila's book is a self-published book. We do a lot of work with self-published authors in our immediate market area, helping them to bring their books to their readers. It's a growing phenomena. Sheila's a particularly good promoter of her self-published work. Not all authors do that well, but Sheila did a great job, and she kind of reached the sales level that allows us to book an event, and she did a great event with us at the beginning of the year. So that's great that we got a mention for Sheila, an established author who has gone to self-publishing from mainstream publishing. Is Roland Marullo, who's written a book called Lunch with Buddha that is selling like crazy in our store.
So why would someone do that, Dan? Go from a big, well-established, well-known publishing house to self-publishing?
I think in Roland's case, he's kind of created a brand for himself through his work as an editor on the editorial page in the Boston Globe and his previous novels. He has a following, and he decided to take charge of his own intellectual property and not share it with a traditional publishing house.
Yeah, I mean, Michael.
There's a million reasons why authors will self-publish, and there's a million reasons why they would stay with traditional publishers. And at the end of the day, bookstores don't really care. I mean, it's nice to have a book that's well-edited, and a publishing house provides that. But an established author, you know, can take care of that on his own. And the bottom line is we love to provide local content. You know, that's what makes our stores different. Some of our best-selling books are by self-published authors as well.
Wow. Well, and gentlemen, a couple more books I want to hit on before we close out the show, but I do want to let everyone listening know just a quick update on our challenge grant. We need 63 more contributions in the next 15 minutes or so. So it needs to happen quickly to earn an extra $10,000 in challenge grant. We really need to claim that challenge money, dollars we can invest in NHPR programs on your behalf. We're getting close, as I said, 63 more contributions. So please give while you're listening to us talking right now. 63 contributions, about 15 minutes left to go. Pledge online, nhpr.org, or call 1-888-805-6477. 1-888-805-6477. And Michael, on your list, you've got this time around science fiction. You usually don't have that on your top selling lists.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm a geek. I'm a nerd.
I admit it freely.
I'm a Trekkie. The universe of Star Wars, my son and I have disagreements. But you know, but anyway, but Red Shirts is the title of the book by John Scalzi that I wanted to recommend. And it's hilarious. Scalzi is a funny, funny writer. And if you're at all familiar with the Star Trek universe, you know that the guys with the red shirts really shouldn't go on those away missions because they're going to get killed. While the main characters come back and
the
show repeats.
They're the ones that don't come back, right?
Yeah, they're the ones that don't come back.
He's dead, Jim.
Exactly. So Red Shirts just takes that simple premise and runs with it and basically disassembles the whole Star Trek universe and reassembles it with tongue firmly in cheek. And if you like the movie Galaxy Quest, for instance, remember that with Sigourney Weaver? That was a fun, fun movie. This is the same kind of read, except at the end of the book, there's a series of surprise twists that gives the story the kind of heart and emotional depth that this kind of like satirical metafiction just very rarely achieves. It's really got a lot. It's a surprising amount of heart to this book, and it's hilarious. So
it's great.
If that sounds at all interesting, it just came out in paperback.
Well,
so.
Especially if you're just getting a little tired of winter, sounds like that'd be
fun. You know, why not do something fun?
Right. Yeah. Dan.
Galaxy Quest, the only film with Sigourney Weaver and Tim Allen.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm going to switch the genre conversation to the mystery genre. I have a new book, first-time author Roger Hobbs, who's written a book called Ghost Man. It's brought to us by a great editor, Gary Fiskejohn, who is constantly finding great new young writers. This guy's from the Pacific Northwest. He's written this mystery thriller about Jack, who is a cunning kind of super brain, made it to the top of gangsterism through his use of modern IT tools, and he's constantly has this ghost-like presence where he's changing his addresses and his physical appearance, and he's really like a living ghost. Only a few know how to contact him, and he's been called by an old partner in crime to who he has a debt that's unpaid, and he's been called on to clean up a mess from a seemingly well-organized heist that went completely wrong. He doesn't trust anyone. He's a ghost man, and he's being chased by both the law and sort of mobster types, and he needs all of his tricks to maintain his ghost-like existence. It's a great new read and smart thriller, and Jean-Paul recommends it highly, as does Liz Whaley.
So, two of the people who work in your store who read the books.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to remind everybody that we've got just a couple minutes for you to get your pledge in. During this special kickoff of our March Fund Drive, we need just to hear from 54 more of you. So just in the last couple minutes, 10 of you stepped up and done your part. 54 more contributions in the next 10 minutes will help NHPR gain an additional $10,000 and bring you the rest of the day fundraising free. So lots of great reasons to contribute now while you're listening online, nhpr.org, or call 1-888-805-6477. Michael, final shout-outs that you want to give from your list. By the way, the lists are at nhpr.org if folks want to see them. Final shout-outs that you want to give before
sure.
we close out.
Just in brief, a couple of the booksellers at Gibson's are reading. Heather is reading a book called The Marlowe Papers, which is by a Marlowe scholar in England. She's written a novel in iambic pentameter, but that shouldn't throw you off. It's in modern English. And it's the story of Christopher Marlowe and the theory that Marlowe he faked his own death. He was a spy. He was a courtier. He was a poet. He was a very romantic figure in England in the 1590s, and he was supposedly murdered before he was 30. And right when Marlowe disappeared, suddenly there was this upstart named Shakespeare. And, of course, the Marlowian theory is that Marlowe was actually Shakespeare. And this is a novel about that story. You know, it's fiction, but it's but Heather's enjoying it immensely.
Wait, Marlowe is Shakespeare?
Well, that's the claim.
Ah, I see.
That's
okay.
The claim.
And you've got another one there with kind of a cute cover on it.
Yeah, Eleanor and Park is being read right now by Ryan, who's a bookseller at our store. And it's for teens and people who like, you know, the whole young adult and adult crossover kind of
right.
thing. Because a lot of adults are reading young adult fiction these days. And this is a story of romance and bullying and heroism. And Ryan's having a blast reading it.
Dan, final thoughts from you, please, for this time of year, again, kind of late winter, looking towards spring, and maybe even what you're excited about for 2013 in general.
Well, first of all, I just want to urge more people to become dedicated readers. You can come into our store at times other than the holiday season. We would love to help you become a more dedicated reader. Everyone's a dedicated reader. It's just a matter of finding the right book to get you rolling.
That is our optimistic view.
I am an optimist. In terms of the rest of 2013, you know, Michael mentioned Dan Brown's book coming out in mid-May. Joe Hill, who's a local guy for us, has a book called Nosferatu that's coming out at the end of April.
I read that. It's really good.
Yeah. And then Michael has Elizabeth Strout's book, so I'm going to let him pitch that.
Yeah, Elizabeth Strout, the author of Olive Kittredge, has a book that's coming out on March 28th, and it's again set in Maine. Two brothers who fled their Maine hometown for New York City as soon as they possibly could are called back home. There's a teenager who's in trouble, and their sister needs the brothers' help, so they return to the landscape of their childhood. And you know, things start happening. And
wow.
That's if you liked Olive Kittredge, and that was a great read. The Burgess Boys is coming out at the end of March.
Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure.
Thanks, Laura.
Dan Chartrand, owner of Water Street Bookstore in Exeter. Michael Herman, owner of Gibson's Bookstore in Concord. It's an exciting morning here at NHPR. Let's check in now with our March fund drive.
I'm Brady Carlson, and this is listener-supported New Hampshire Public Radio, the first day of our March membership drive. We're only fundraising for 3 hours today. We're done at 10 o'clock, so your support right now is essential as we try to get a day's worth of fundraising in just those 3 hours. Help pay for programming like The Exchange with your generous gift at nhpr.org or call 1-888-805-6477. Here with more on today's challenge is Word of Mouth's host, Virginia Prescott.
Brady, we have 25 pledges to go in the next 7 minutes to meet that goal of 350 contributions for the entire morning. Meeting that goal will earn NHPR an additional $10,000 in challenge money, thanks to a generous but anonymous Upper Valley donor. Please support your NHPR listening by giving us $250 a year, $1,000 a year if you can afford it, $120 a year, whatever works for you. You can go to nhpr.org, where you will also find Michael and Dan's lists of books that they discussed today, but it's also a place to pledge. That's nhpr.org or calling 1-888-805-6477.
Listener support is NHPR's most important source of income, and not simply because it's such a large portion of the budget, but it's because we're accountable to you. Not to Wall Street, not to Madison Avenue, not to Capitol Hill, to you. We can bring you clear, concise, objective news coverage, and you can help keep that balanced, independent, thoughtful news coming by giving right now at nhbr.org or at 1-888-805-6477.
Like so many strong nonprofit organizations here in New Hampshire, NHPR is funded with voluntary contributions ranging from a few dollars to a few thousand dollars. So we're asking you to choose the amount that fits for your budget and reflects the value that NHPR brings to your life and to New Hampshire. So that may be $120, it may be $1,200 or $2,500. It will ensure that NHPR and NPR programming is always going to be there, always have a home on the radio. Please decide an amount that works for you and give, especially now when we have, just 5 minutes to make 16 more contributions at 1-888-805-6477 or online at nhpr.org.
Your contribution is going to put 10,000 additional dollars to work for programs like The Exchange, like The Diane Rehm Show, like Word of Mouth, and so much more. That comes from an anonymous donor in the Upper Valley, but NHPR can only put it to work when we all pitch in and do our part, and that includes you, who is listening right now. You who appreciates the news coverage that you get throughout the day and throughout the week here on New Hampshire Public Radio. It's you who should help support it. Just 13 people more left to make the goal, with just 4 minutes left to make the goal. NHPR.org on the web, or 1-888-805-6477.
Nine more pledges to go in the next 4 minutes.
Wow.
When we get those nine, we will stop fundraising for the entire day if we get there by 10 o'clock, and we will receive an extra $10,000 from an anonymous donor in the Upper Valley. That's $10,000 more than whatever you can afford today. $120, $240, $500. That will be worth $10,000 additional dollars to us, and we'll put that to work to make programming that is quality programming, that speaks to all of New Hampshire, that supports a community of informed citizens. 1-888-805-6477 is the number to call, or nhpr.org.
Three.
Woo!
That's it. Three more people to make the goal, and just 3 minutes left to go. So let's hear from you now. If you want to be the person who runs across the finish line and basks in the cheers of all of the people in the community, well, here's your chance, my friend. It's 1-888-805-6477. I'll just say that number again. 1-888-805-6477. Or drop by nhpr.org. You can be the person who makes $10,000 additional dollars happen for your public radio station.
Two more calls at 1-888-805-6477. Two more listeners stepping up and supporting New Hampshire Public Radio's shorter fundraising model just this morning, and an additional $10,000 to NHPR. You can also make a contribution online at nhpr.org. Whatever you give, we thank you so much. We thank, let's see, Shirley in Peterborough, Murray in Canaan, Joel in Plymouth, Daniel in Hiram, that in Hiram, Maine, that is. We want to thank